USA Radio News. I'm Jason Wirt.
We all want to live long, healthy lives, and we know that smoking is not a part of making that happen. We all know the dangers, but we also know that it's tough to quit smoking and make it stick. And that's where Nickel Block comes in. It comes in a little bottle, and when you put it on the filter of your cigarette, it blocks the inhalation of tar and nicotine. So you got to check this out. Go to nickelblock.tv and find out more. You can also call 877-835-6060. Now, whether this is your first time quitting or your fifth, Nickel Block is your best chance to stop smoking for good. The taste doesn't change, and neither does your satisfaction. But what does change is your dependence on nicotine. And as you increase the number of Nickel Block drops, you'll gradually decrease your tar and nicotine intake. It's that simple. It's gradual. It's effective. Call 877-835-6060. Stop smoking. Make it for good this time. 877-835-6060 or go to nickelblock.tv.
Residents of Mississippi are furious at the federal government after they said they will not make a major declaration for the flood damage in the state. Here's the story.
The flood damage to about 60 homes in parts of southwest Mississippi is pretty bad, but there's not enough damage to qualify for a major disaster declaration. So Mississippi Emergency Management Director Lee Smithson is looking to volunteer groups to step in.
To help people clean out their homes and also to collect donations, both in cleaning supplies and money for the folks impacted.
MEMA says the flood victims in Wilkinson and Emmett counties might be able to qualify for Small Business Administration loans, and there's a chance that local governments in those areas might get some FEMA help in rebuilding 26 roads and bridges that were damaged or washed out. Randy Bell in Jackson.
The funeral for a Georgia police officer is being moved to a gym from a church. Officer Timothy Smith was gunned down by a 24-year-old man after he responded to a call about a suspicious person with a gun. USA Radio News.
What's at stake at this election? A lot. From the freedom to publicly practice and proclaim your faith to the nomination of Supreme Court justices, matters of critical importance to Christians are looming in the days ahead. That's why we invite you to join us on September 9th through 11th in Washington, D.C. for the Values Voters Summit. Come to learn, be encouraged, and meet others who will stand for the renewal of this great nation. Visit valuesvotersummit.org for more information.
If you're like me and you seem to be a target for mosquitoes every time you step out the door, here's a story for you from Anthony Lucero.
Even though it's getting late in the summer, mosquitoes that can carry diseases are still around. Tom Mascari, an entomologist at the S.C. Johnson Entomology Research Center, says there are ways to identify the most effective mosquito repellents.
I always recommend that people use a repellent containing DEET or picaridin, and those are EPA-registered repellents. So they have a large history, a large body of evidence showing that they actually do work to protect people against mosquitoes.
Other tips include wearing long-sleeved shirts and long pants to keep your body fully covered, even if it's hot. There's also evidence that dark-colored clothes attract more mosquitoes versus light-colored ones. I'm Anthony Lucero.
A major human trafficking ring has been busted. Here's correspondent Tammy Rose.
Undercover police officers using the website Backpage.com to arrange dates with prostitutes led to rescuing dozens of human trafficking victims and three arrests.
The defendants threatened the women, beat them, refused to let them return home.
Maryland Attorney General Brian Frosch describing how the three pimps place ads on Backpage.com looking for women, claiming to be a modeling escort agency, but then forcing more than 40 victims over several years into the brutal sex for cash industry.
This is deliberate, structured cruelty.
For USA Radio News, I'm Tammy Rose.
USA Radio News.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon. the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Hi, welcome to Talented People. I'm Jeannie Murphy. Good afternoon. I hope you're having a great day. It's already the 17th of August, and we have a nice guest in studio today live with us. His name is Dan Minoli. He's a principal consultant with DVI Communications, and we're going to learn about the Internet of Things. If you've been hearing that around, basically, this is your chance to learn all about it. But I'm going to give you an update on the weather forecast right now. If you happen to be in the New Jersey area, central New Jersey, Flemington, in the surrounding area tonight, chance of showers mainly after 3 a.m., mostly cloudy, the low about 67. Chance of showers mainly before 9 a.m. on Thursday morning, partly sunny with a high of 85. Only 30% chance of precipitation. I got to say, today is absolutely gorgeous. So if we get another day like that tomorrow with only 30%, looks like it's going to be great. Thursday night, chance of showers again, thunderstorms between 9 p.m. and 3 a.m., partly cloudy with a low about 65. Mostly sunny all day on Friday with a high of 89 and clear Friday night with a low of 68. Saturday, chance of showers and thunderstorms after 9 a.m., mostly sunny again with a high of 87. And then that continues with a chance of showers and thunderstorms before 3 a.m., partly cloudy with a low about 69 on Saturday night, and then a chance of showers and thunderstorms after 9 a.m., but partly sunny with a high of 85 on Sunday, and the same, mostly cloudy with a low about 69 Sunday night, and then Monday, chance of showers and thunderstorms again, mostly cloudy with a high of 83 and low of 63. Sunny all day on Tuesday, the high of 81. So it looks like we're going to have an awesome next couple days. I hope you enjoy it as we're getting towards the back-to-school season, and then we're still going to get a little September for fun. But our summer is quickly moving past us. So this is Talented People. It's 3:06. We're going to go to a real quick break, and we'll be right back with our guest. Again, Dan Minoli, Principal Consultant, DVI Communications. You can follow them on Twitter at DVI Communications. And we're going to learn about the Internet of Things. It's something that you just have to stay with us to listen to. We'll be right back.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat, lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule a body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
All right, welcome back to Talented People. Thank you so much for listening in today. It's already 3:07, and we're going to jump right into our conversation learning about the Internet of Things. Basically, our guest today, he's the principal consultant. His name is Dan Minoli. I've had him on the show several times before because he's the go-to guy and expert. He is the principal consultant for DVI Communications, and they're a leading information technology and networking consulting consultancy and systems engineering firm that focuses on IT, telecommunications, security, and audiovisual systems in New York City. The firm serves many clients in several markets, including education and institutional, financial services, government, healthcare, medical, insurance, legal, media, and entertainment, real estate, high technology, and transportation and energy utilities, among others. And so you can imagine Dan being a principal consultant there. Not only is he our go-to guy and expert, he's had 60 books published, which is absolutely astounding to me. Technical books, the best publishers around, 300 papers. He's made presentations at over 85 different conferences, years and years of technical hands-on and managerial experience, and he's worked with some of the greatest companies that you could imagine. So I just want to welcome you, Dan, back again to the studio.
Jeannie, thank you for having me today. I'm glad to be here.
It's just always such a pleasure. Dan has brought us information before, and he actually goes back a long way with us. Colleen Kelly and I, business partners at JMPR and Mariah Media, had him as one of our speakers at the cybersecurity events last year. So if you recall, he's been in talking about that. He's talked about other information that we just have considered most our valuable interviews. So today, we're talking about the Internet of Things. And Dan, what is this issue all about?
Yes, indeed. First, I should say that if we Google the Internet of Things, we're going to get 62 million hits. So clearly, it's something that it's on everybody's mind and thought process. It's considered kind of the next wave of automation. The basic concept of IoT is the instrumentation or the interconnection of all things. That's why it's called the Internet of Things. That could be wearables, namely kind of smart coats or jackets or what have you, health monitors, home appliances, infrastructure itself, for example, the smart grid so that we can control power distribution, smart cities so we can improve traffic flow and so on and so forth. And applications such as smart cities, smart home, have obviously an interest in a lot of different vertical industries. But today I'm here to speak about a specific vertical industry. It really applies across the board, but DVI is interested in basically assisting the insurance industry in applying this technology. Again, it's entering the daily life of many industries. It's considered to be disruptive in a certain way because it will entail the redesign of many processes. Some of these applications I mentioned, it's obvious. For example, you know, making smart cities, smart buildings, so that we can basically do remote energy management, remote temperature control. Even, for example, and we've seen some advertisement on TV when people ring the bell, you could see who's at the bell, whether you'll be at home or whether you'll be away, and you can see that on your smartphone. But there are some more subtle applications, and that's one of the applications I'm here to talk today, specifically, for example, in banking, insurance, and business process management. So these are not instantly obvious applications, which will be even easier to talk about, but they are somewhat kind of in the background, but indeed can lead to savings and new ways of conducting business. So, for example, for the insurance companies, having automation in the person's residence or in a car can assist them to better assess risk. For example, if you're a bad driver, the monitors could actually collect data and then make that available to the insurance company. In terms of theft, potentially, if you see that there is something going on in a house, you could have the police automatically, you know, brought online. Therefore, potentially, either the theft or the vandalism that might occur could be diminished because the police is going to show up earlier in that particular location. Also, in terms of traffic flows, improving traffic flows, therefore reducing potentially accidents. For example, letting motorists know not to go in a certain, you know, route on a certain day and so on. It helps reduce accidents in terms of also improving conditions, whether it will be, for example, you know, an icy road in a city or whatever. All of it drive to reducing risk. And also an important area is that of e-health or electronic health monitoring, which can improve the quality of life of not only of patients, which is also important, but also can reduce treatment and insurance costs. For example, if a doctor is aware that a patient is not taking the medication or maybe the high blood pressure, it just goes on for a number of days, the doctor could call you out and say, come in and we'll do something. Net, that reduces ultimately the cost of medical treatment. So that's the reason that insurance companies would have an interest in applying IoT. Again, the Internet of Things or IoT is a much broader concept, and really, Jeannie, I can come back many other times and talk to you about the smart cities, We can talk about crowd sensing, which is another big application. We could talk about grid and so on, but also for insurance companies, which in this tri-state area, we have multiple such large companies. This will be a topic of interest.
Oh, absolutely. We're going to go to our first break right now. I want everybody to know we're talking about the Internet of Things, and we're being introduced to this in its processes and big picture by Dan Minoli. Again, he's a principal consultant for DBI Communications in New York City, serving like the best of the best companies. And today we're talking about insurance companies and the Internet of Things. So we're going to go to our quick break. It's only going to be a couple of minutes long at the most. And then we're going to get back and talk to Dan more about how this affects insurance companies and just learn more about. Stay with us, talented people.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site. And we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
Don't fear technology. Use it, understand it, and embrace it. The mission of Tech Today is to demystify technology. I'm your host, Chris Bianco, principal of Blue Panther Business Partners. Every Tuesday morning from 10 to 11, we will cover new apps, buying advice, technology news, and answer your questions. Good day, and join me on Tech Today on HuntertonChamberRadio.com.
This is Tony Clark, Para Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms. When they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
All right, welcome back to the show. It's Wednesday, August 17th. It's about 3:17 in the afternoon. This is Talented People. I'm Jeannie Murphy. Just saying hello and thanks for listening in today. We appreciate it. We're talking about the Internet of Things. I'm sure you've heard the word as our guest, Dan Minoli, a principal consultant at DVI Communications, mentioned that there's over 60 million hits when you look up that name, right? Internet of Things. We're talking about how it's applying to insurance, particularly today. And Dan is our guest and expert. Dan, let's just get right back to it. Can you tell us about this as far as is it a big opportunity?
In the totality, it's actually an enormous opportunity. It's been sized in the trillions of dollars over the next few years because, as we hinted, it really, really impact every aspect of our life. In the context specifically of insurance, first, I want to make the point that there was a Gartner study. Gartner is a kind of a market research company out of Connecticut. They basically stated by the year 2020, which is basically, you know, just around the corner, more than half of all the new business processes will incorporate IoT principles and concepts. I mean, we could just stop at that and discuss the concepts for the rest of the presentation here today, but the discussion, but that's an important fundamental observation. So it will actually cut across our entire economy. But in the context of insurance, which we are here again today putting the emphasis on that particular aspect, the insurance business in the United States is $1.2 trillion yearly in terms of premiums and revenue that the companies make. And the United States is the largest global market. Probably it's about twice as much if we look at the total rest of the world and include North America. But in the U.S., it's $1.2 trillion. It represents 7% of the GDP. So this is a significant industry that certainly will benefit from IoT. The industry, as we all know, is comprised of about three segments. It's the life and health sector, the property and casualty, and then the health sector. In 2014, for example, there were over 1,000 companies doing the life and health, 1,031 to be exact. There were 2,718 companies doing the casualty, property and casualty business, and about 1,000 companies, specifically 1,060, doing health-related services. Therefore, a lot of companies are there, out there, that can basically benefit from this new technology. So you could view it as kind of new technology. You could view it as taking the automation a step further. You could view it as taking the technology out to the customer. Clearly, any technology that can help the industry save in the expense of the bottom line can be significant. So a 1% improvement in profitability, we just mentioned, is a $1.2 trillion. A 1% improvement would be $10 billion more that could be in the pocket of the shareholders or the insurance companies. So any automation is certainly something that impacts the bottom line, and since the numbers of the top line are so large, the bottom line is in turn itself very large. So it's something that the companies should pursue insofar that the technology is going to get closer to the customer, not only in terms of the customer doing some lookup on the web or maybe checking some status or status of a claim or something like that, but much more intimate, as we mentioned before, collecting data maybe on your driving habits, maybe on your health monitors that your doctor might have, you know, asked you to wear.
So how does the insurance industry stack out then?
Well, as we mentioned, we all and all as consumers realize that insurance companies in turn touch us at every aspect of our life, whether it be, for example, in life insurance, whether it be in accidents, car, automobile, and so forth. So we all, as consumers, also impacted by these insurance companies. So it's kind of an opportunity both for the consumer to get better service as well as for insurance companies to better manage the risk. And the end of the day is to basically map the risk to the consumer so that, if, for example, if you are a driver that is very much following, you know, speed limit and so on, you should not necessarily be paying those same rates as somebody who, you know, chronically would go over the speed limit. So in effect, it helps both the company and the consumer.
Well, can you tell us a little bit more about how it helps the Internet of Things? How does it help?
Well, I mentioned already that IoT entails instrumentation of all sorts of things, as we mentioned, the home and so forth. But it could also be applied at a more macro level. There is this concept called smart cities, which in fact is getting a lot of attention of late, because clearly administrations of cities would like to improve the way that the services are provided in there, ultimately reducing risk, whether it be reducing the risk of fire, the risk of theft, the risk of vandalism. So the use of IoT effectively can lower the overall loss due to various contingencies that one might run into, whether it be crime, whether it be other events. So another important area that I want to mention that I already alluded to, but it's this e-health or electronic health application, specifically monitoring. And studies have been conducted, and evidence has come about that people that use mobile monitors basically end up getting better care and therefore are able to get a better quality of life, better results. These are basically automatic tools that can collect data about biostatistics. Not only can be they utilized in the home, where, for example, they can be connected with Wi-Fi and then collected to a central location, but indeed they can be worn and basically connected citywide or even if you travel. So that's kind of the ultimate goal of being able to basically monitor people wherever they are, especially since we are becoming somewhat of an older population in general, and there's also the prevalence of more chronic diseases like diabetes and so on. So there is kind of an increasing need for having this kind of real-time monitoring. Naturally, there are some issues associated with rolling out this technology. One important issue is security, but people are looking at that and indeed finding ways of resolving that issue.
Well, you know what, Dan? We're going to go to our quick break real quick. We're going to go really quick to the news, and we're going to talk to you again more about learning more about the Internet of Things. We'll be right back. It's Talented People, and our guest is Dan Manoli, a principal consultant of DBI Communications in New York, who serves learning the businesses on the Internet and the Internet of Things. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
It's currently 30,000 acres with 0% containment. And in my 40 years of fighting fire, I've never seen fire behavior so extreme as it was yesterday.
Mike Wachowski of CAL FIRE describing the fire 60 miles to the west of Los Angeles that has destroyed thousands of homes and put 82,000 people under a mandatory evacuation. Federal officials say the cost of damage to 8 businesses burned in Milwaukee riots over the weekend could exceed several million dollars. Wisconsin Governor Scott Walker praised faith leaders for helping defuse the riots.
Large thanks to religious community and civic leaders for helping tone things down. I think that's a good sign going forward. Obviously, we continue to monitor this.
The Coast Guard says more than 500 passengers have been evacuated from a burning ship off the Puerto Rico coast. They said many passengers needed medical attention, but no fatalities reported. USA Radio News, I'm Jason Wirt.
If you'd like to control your blood pressure without medication, I have some exciting news. My name is Floyd Brown, and I'm the CEO of USA Radio. It's called the Zona Plus, and it's a safe, easy way to lower your blood pressure naturally. I'm using it myself. 22 clinical studies confirm regular use of the Zona Plus can decrease your blood pressure by 10% or more. That's why it's been written about by Harvard, the Mayo Clinic, and the American Heart Association. As a listener to USA Radio, the company is offering you a special savings of $50 and free shipping. To find out more, go to ZonaPlusUSA.com. That's ZonaPlusUSA.com. Or call toll-free 1-866-669-9662. Be sure to mention USA Radio and save $50 on your Zona Plus and change your life. Remember, ZonaPlusUSA.com.
All right, welcome back to the show. It's Talented People. I'm Jeannie Murphy. Good afternoon. Thanks again for listening. It's 3:27 on August 17th, and our guest in studio today is Dan Manoli. And as you know, because he's been here before, and we always follow him for the most important and up-to-date information on technology and the like. He's written over 60 books, 300 papers, and he has appeared at over 85 conferences, and that's like the tip of the iceberg. The company that he works for in New York City as its principal consultant is DBI Communications. They're a leading information technology and networking consultancy and systems engineering firm. And so we've got the best, as usual, of the best here. And Dan is telling us about how particularly the Internet of Things applies to the insurance world, because we're going to have him on bringing us up to date on all the different topics and industries that this affects, which is, again, everybody. But we're going to learn a little bit about insurance again today and the risks of it. So, Dan, can you give us some real examples of firms that are actually doing this?
Yes, indeed. Obviously, companies are interested in improving the bottom line, as you mentioned before, managed risk, which is basically the name of the game for insurance companies. Let me kind of roll off a quick list that I've made little notes here, and then I'll mention some specific examples. So I'll just go down the list here. Zurich, USAA, Swiss Re Investment, State Farm, Progressive, Liberty Mutual, John Hancock, Esurance, Chubb, Berkshire, American Family, Allstate, and AIG. So that's list of companies, of insurance companies that have already applied this technology to some extent. And clearly, we mentioned before, there are 1,000 companies in the business, so the other 995 will certainly want to look into the technology. So let me mention again some more specific examples now. But in the generalist, in the area of what is called UBI, or usage-based insurance, and that's specifically applicable to automotive applications. So these insurances provide you with a device that you put into your car connected to the monitoring port, which will monitor how you drive, and therefore they can tailor the coverage specifically to your...
I got one of those like a year ago.
Right, and they motivate you. There's basically motivation that if... that you can get discounts on the premiums if you, in fact, are willing to basically be monitored for a little while and what have you. So Progressive Corporation offers such monitoring program. They call it Snapshot. Rewards customers with lower insurance rates if they avoid aggressive driving, aggressive braking. They minimize the amount of night travel and drive a few miles instead of, you know, a lot more miles during
the
year.
That's fascinating.
There is a device that connects to this OBDI-2 port. Forgive me, I don't remember what the acronym stands for, but basically it's the monitoring port that your car would have, and it will track your driving episodes and measure various parameters. You could also yourself later go up to a website where this data is uploaded, and you could yourself kind of see how you're doing and keep it. You can basically monitor yourself kind of daily as to how you are behaving vis-a-vis certain metrics. Let me move on to State Farm. They launched a smart home policy that would provide discounts for the consumer using monitoring alarm systems. So the system would include water sensors, smoke detectors, and connected doorbells that I mentioned a moment ago. So if you have these devices and you're being monitored by some monitoring service, they will then in turn provide you a discount. American Modern Insurance is another example. They prototype a smart home that will incorporate smart devices, again, smart thermostats, the keyless entry doorway, water sensors, carbon monoxide detectors, all with the goal of basically starting assessing how they can use this technology to monitor or manage risk. John Hancock has a program to offer discounts up to 15% for policyholders who track and do well on metrics related to daily exercise. So these ways, not only you can do the exercise and get the health benefit of it, but you can also get the insurance discount. So customers should have the Fitbit tracker. They would monitor, for example, how many calories you would burn daily and so forth and so on. And then I already mentioned a few, but there are other companies like AXA, American Family, Aviva, and so on. So a lot of companies are getting into this because, as we said before, it's kind of the next wave of automation. So as we can see, the insurance companies would get closer to you. In effect, there's a plus and a minus. In effect, a little bit intrusive. But at the end of the day, they could save money. So you could view
it. Yeah, I was thinking about it. I was like, that's making me crazy. But if I'm going to save money because I have to pay them anyway, I might as well have them do their best job that they can for us. If it's going to save us money, then it makes sense. But I'm sure that as this grows, people will also become smart people. Right now, it's the insurance banking industries and the customers that are so important, and it is true. It's just I'm dying to know more about where do they get, like for you guys, DBI, where do they get this information? Who's their go-to people? What do you do to help them actually give these services and so on?
Well, one of the roles that DBI can play is certainly to advise the insurance companies and can basically educate them as to the technology, the applicability, and also can assist in rolling out some of these IoT systems, because it's not only the end user wearing a monitoring device, but it's the network infrastructure behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So we at DVI can in fact support customers across a whole range of requirements needed to roll out the service. In fact, we had a press release we just put out about a month ago. If people are interested, and we certainly hope they are, they could look up our data, our website, dvicomm.com. That's D-V-I-C-O-M-M with two M's, .com. And there is a press release there that describes specifically the various disciplines and various areas that we certainly support our customers. But we do that, as you mentioned before, across the various industries that we verticals we support, whether it be, for example, the financials, the government, the healthcare, the legal. We mentioned insurance a moment ago, so we would tailor and we would guide them and point them to the technologies as will be applicable to them.
Right.
Because some of the technologies, for example, smart grid, how you monitor the power distribution, that's something maybe that the insurance companies might not immediately have an interest, even though that could be also a way to maybe reduce the business risk. But that's probably secondary. On the other hand,
well, there's so many. I mean, even for the consumers themselves, those out there listening to us talk about, you know, the Internet of Things, when you're talking about opportunities for maybe those that, you know, handle the roadways, if they're able to see that there's more traffic at a certain place and they can electronically, you know, make a less of a stop sign or something, a stoplight, and then go on to make the traffic better. I'm going to ask you a couple things about that. But I do think that for the sake of everybody listening out there, those insurance companies, it's fun for us as consumers to understand what's happening in the future and why and how it affects us too. So are there some obstacles to implementing the model?
Well, in fact, there are some obstacles, as it would be the case in any automation project. Obviously, there are some challenges. So, for example, how do we maintain connectivity with all these devices that are going to be out there, especially if the devices are going to be mobile? Again, cars will be mobile with these monitor elements we just mentioned. People with the e-health will be mobile. So there is some networking. There is a networking issue to take into consideration. Also, in terms of the number of devices, some of the networks we out there today, they may or may not have the scale requirement. Some statistics seem to indicate that we ultimately will have about 10 devices per capita. People are talking about, and you might have seen even some TV ads talking about 20 billion or 50 billion devices out there. There is a TV running on, and there is an advertisement running on TV right now. I think it's for HP that says, oh, there are going to be 20 billion devices by year 2020. Some people are quoting 50 billion devices.
I believe it.
So if you figure there are about 6 or 7 or the billion people on this planet, the average is going to be about 10 devices per individual on a per capita basis. But the point I'm making, that there is a lot, there is a certain scalability concern that we have to address. That will be one of the challenges. Other challenges have to do with standardization. To make that absolutely clear, it's like, for example, your Ethernet or Wi-Fi. That became a standard a long time ago, so you can plug into any, you know, whether it will be on any Ethernet cable with your laptop, whether you go to an hotel and have an Ethernet cable or even Wi-Fi, that's become a standard. On the other hand, on the IoT world, we still have issues with coming up with a standard. There is work underway, but we're not there as of yet. So that becomes an issue. You may end up, if you're an insurance company and you deploy the system, you may end up having to be working with a single vendor. So you don't have interworking or the ability to basically buy the piece of the technology from this vendor, another piece from that other vendor. This issue has been addressed, has been worked on, but we're not totally there as of yet. So some of these applications, even in the smart city environment or some other environments, are still kind of vendor specific. So you have to kind of purchase a solution from one provider rather than being kind of more of a commodity. Another big issue we kind of hinted along the way was that of cybersecurity. Certainly with all the hacking that we hear every day, that's a consideration. It happens literally every day that we read about the breaches. There were probably a couple in the past couple of days. I don't even keep track of them anymore because daily you have them. But there is a foundation. It's called the IoT Security Foundation, IoTSF. You can check them out on the web if you're interested. But they did a study recently. They say that less than 10% of all IoT products on the market have adequate IoT security. So that is an issue that is recognized, and solutions are being sought. Part of the problem is that these devices that I just mentioned typically are relatively low complexity. In other words, they don't have the smarts or all the capabilities. They're not a mini computer, I should say a computer or a laptop or even a smartphone, because we know the cost $200 or $300 or $400 for a smartphone. So some of these devices are like $10 devices. There's only so much computing intelligence that you can deploy. So they're low complexity devices, and that's kind of limits the amount of computing or number crunching you can do. Also, they have limited onboard power often enough. If they are something that's connected with the automobile, they may have adequate power. But if it's something like a wearable that we just mentioned before for e-health, there's only so much battery power in these devices. Then there is the mobility aspect. When something moves around, you have to track it. So there is complexity both in the network to kind of figure out where you are, as well as in your device if it has to do the roaming. And then I mentioned the lack of agreed standards, and also the large number of devices, and also the large different types of devices. It's not just, like, for example, it could be a watch. A watch is one thing, but these sensors are all different. The sensors for your house, for the thermostat, is different than the sensor for your automobile driving, which is different from your e-health sensor. So those are all challenges. But the expectation in the industry, these challenges are going to be mitigated and resolved to a very large degree in the near future. There are very large companies in this field. You have people like IBM, HP, you name it, and Microsoft, all kind of playing in the space, all with the idea of coming up with standards, as well as solving some of the problems at the chip level. So companies are thinking of kind of developing new silicon to address some of these issues more intrinsically and more directly.
Well, I hear that we need some king of architecture to support the applications. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Well, the architecture is kind of the blueprint, is the big picture, is how all these things fit in, whether it will be the end devices doing the monitoring, or whether it will be the data aggregation in the network that we just mentioned, or whether it will be the quote-unquote big data that we've all heard about for the number crunching and the analytics. It's important to have an architecture, because an architecture is like a blueprint. It's like a city blueprint or a blueprint of build or for a house, an architectural blueprint on how you would actually obviously layer brick on brick and floor on floor and windows in the walls and so on. So it's kind of a blueprint or a master plan. There are several that have already been published and they are being refined. I can mention a few. There is one, it's called ETSI, which is a European Telecommunications Standards Institute, as one example. They have an architecture for another buzzword that I didn't mention so far, but you may hear it's called M2M. That stands for machine to machine. So there is a lot of work going on in coming up with this blueprint. It's kind of the big picture on how everything fits in. Again, if you think of a project development of some kind of a housing development, you would have a blueprint that says, here's where we're going to put the roads, here where we're going to put the sewer lines, here where we're going to put the buildings, here we're going to put the clubhouse, here where we're going to put the cul-de-sacs and so on. So you need something like that gives a big picture, and that's what an architecture is all about. We at DVI come up with one such architecture. There are several out there, but we just offer one, and we have a couple of publications on the way to highlight this architecture. In fact, this kind of material that I'm presenting to you is actually being accepted for publication on a book that has been put together by a well-known publisher. So eventually, for folks that are really interested in the topic, eventually they can actually read it in black and white. So it'll be available in a chapter in the book probably in the next 6 months.
I got to keep us posted on that for sure. We're going to go to our break real quick. It's already 3:43 in the afternoon, if you can believe it. Dan, we're talking about the Internet of Things and DVI communications and how they are actually an architect of the services. And we're talking specifically about some of the applications in the insurance agency industry. And so basically our guest again, Dan Minoli, principal consultant at DVI. And we'll be right back. I'm Jeannie Murphy. This is Talented People. Stay with us.
Hi, I'm Joe Peters of Weikert Realtors. Buying or selling a property can be one of the most expensive undertakings you face in your lifetime, and selecting the right realtor to help you through this process can dramatically affect your success or your failure. I have personally helped hundreds of buyers and sellers through this process in achieving their dreams and goals in 100 in Somerset County areas over the past 10 years. I believe that this experience should be a smooth, seamless one for you and not a roller coaster ride. But the best judgment as to whether or not I deliver this to my customers is their reactions in their own words.
One of the things we liked about Joe was that he would return calls within minutes if he wasn't able to pick up.
You know, Joe guided us through the process of selling our home and made a complicated transaction appear seamless.
How do I accomplish this? By approaching every transaction from a business perspective. Initially, I try to fully understand your goals and dreams and make them my own. Then, I go out and take the mass amounts of data that we have and distill them down to a few understandable action points to be considered. Finally, I control the entire process through technology to ensure that we're not going to hit any speed bumps along the way. The end result to you is a smooth, rewarding customer experience. Let me show you how to take my level of professional expertise and put it to work for you in achieving your real estate goals and dreams. I can be reached at 908-238-0118. Thanks for your time.
Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunting Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunting Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
Hi, this is Ruth Ann Disatel, celebrant officiant with Celebration of a Lifetime. When people ask me why I joined the Chamber, it's because I want to get to know you and what you're all about. And I want you to get to know me and what I'm all about. And together, I'd like to celebrate what we can do for Hunterdon County.
Hunterdon Chamber of Commerce, building business, one business at a time.
All right, welcome back to the show. Hope you're enjoying this beautiful day of August 17th. It's 3:46 in the afternoon. We're going to run to the end of the show too quickly. I want to just let you know that our guest in studio has been here several times before. He's our expert and go-to guy. His name is Dan Minoli, and he's a principal consultant with DVI Communications. And we're learning today about the Internet of Things and the applications towards pretty much the insurance industry today. But we're going to be trying to learn a little bit more about it. And I do want to thank you, Dan, for being so educational today, less of a commercial, really, to your company that is actually the architect of handling these types of big picture solutions in the landscape and guiding those large companies. And even if you're a small company and you need direction, I wanted to let you know about DVI Communications. There's also a press release. It was issued on June 8th. If you look it up on the internet, it says DVI. D as in David, V as in Victor, I, Communications, offers, that it says, Internet of Things, which is IoT, applications for multiple industries. So as much as he's talking about insurance, as much as he's staying away from making a commercial, I'm seriously going to tell you one, because I just love their team, their staff, and what they do. So you can read all about it if you look up the internet. Just look up DVI Communications, Internet of Things, and you'll find information on how to get in touch with them. So Dan, come back and tell us more about, like, expanding a little bit on the issue of security as it relates to the insurance industries.
I mentioned before that obviously insurance companies are in the business, unfortunately, of collecting a lot of personal information. We all know it when we get the document for the car insurance, how many miles you drive, how many times a day or you go somewhere or whatever. They want all sorts of information. So that's just going to continue and become even more significant. In the end, it's for the purpose of improving service, giving you a better tailored product. If you're a good driver, you pay less and so forth. So there is a redeeming value in what they do. But naturally, security is important. We expect that as consumers, the companies realize they have to do it. But on top of it, it's also government regulation that directs insurance companies as well as other data entity to protect the information. So clearly, in the IoT context, the problem relates to the ability of identifying these IoT devices such that there is not a rogue device that would show up in the system and then try to maybe steal data. Also protect information flow when it's actually being transmitted from your device. Say, for example, you have a monitoring medical device all the way up to your analytics engine somewhere on the cloud. And then ultimately you want to prevent hacking, whether it'll be hacking of the device level by somebody that is going to put some kind of malware or Trojan there, or even up at the analytics. I mentioned some of the regulation that is out there. There's actually a long list starting from HIPAA, which we probably all heard. There's all sorts of other regulation. One is called FERPA, Family Education Rights and Privacy Act. That has to do with information that maybe you provide insurance companies as part of maybe getting a loan. There is something called the Federal Information Security Management Act, FISMA. There's something called the Generic Information Non-Discrimination Act, or GINA, and it goes on and on. So it's about, in the United States, probably about a couple dozen regulations that have to be respected by the insurance companies in terms of their information, as well as understood by the technology providers, so that they can basically develop systems that comply and or support these regulations. Now, the type of specific security mechanisms that are needed and I'm just going to enumerate them, authorization and authentication. It's a mechanism that supports the integrity of the data, namely who's the user, what kind of data is this user able to either read, write, or modify. It also supports what is called availability in this particular line of business, which is related to avoiding the denial of service, or DOS, denial of service. We probably all heard that some banks have been hacked and they can take down their website. That's an example of a denial of service, namely the hacker will be denying Citibank from being able to run its website. That's called a denial of service. So clearly, any IoT system has to protect the data aggregation from being impacted or affected by denial of service, because you won't be able to, you won't have that data flowing up into the analytics engine. Also, encryption of the data, so it's transmitted in a way that it's encrypted and the person that is not authorized to see it will not see it. The wrinkle to all of that is what it's called key management, because encryption requires that the keys or the secret keys be distributed to the entity that is actually encrypting the data. It also have to be available to the entity where the data is ultimately decrypted. The key management, it's actually a fairly tricky proposition. So that's kind of what sometimes holds back encryption. For example, in that email context, as an example, sometimes we're saying, especially as we read the news, you know, how come that emails are not encrypted, which would preclude undesirable agents from being able to see this data, or at least without having to put a lot of number crunching behind it. And the reason is precisely, as I mentioned, because of the key management aspect, because you're trying to send data to many users out there, and we would have to send them not only the encrypted data, but we also would have to send them the keys to that data, and that becomes a kind of a technical management issue. I'm not going to elaborate at this point, but it impacts the IoT. And lastly, it's what I call trust and identity management, basically being able to make sure that the person that claims is somebody exactly that is the person involved. So that typically will be using keywords, passwords, or maybe a two-form identification, maybe like a token, or like we have today, like a chip on a credit card.
So we are almost at the end of the show, Dan. I'm going to ask you to tell us a little bit more about what we need to know, since we're going to run out of time to get to everything on our list here.
Well, as I mentioned, there is a lot of technology to bring the service out and be implemented. At the end of the day, this technology will be assisting both the consumer and the providers. But it's also an opportunity for the technology providers, whether it will be the people that actually develop these systems, whether it will be the sensors, whether it will be the what are called the gateways, whether it will be the routers and switches in the network, as well as the people that do the analytics. Some of the traffic that is generated by the sensors is slightly different from the type of traffic that is generated either by people looking at the internet today or even from smartphones. So there has to be some optimization done, and also in the context of the large number of sources of traffic that I just mentioned, it certainly represents a little bit of a paradigm shift. That's both an opportunity as well as a challenge for the providers. As you mentioned, Jeannie, we track this industry very well. We've done a lot of work in the space, and we are more than eager to assist companies understand the technology, see what the values of the technology would be, and what are some of the challenges, some of the problems that we have to solve, and how we go about solving them. So whether it will be putting together a business plan for a service, whether it will be deploying the technology, deploying the wireless networks, both in what is called the fog environment, which means kind of out there in the edges of the network close to the user, or whether it will be more in the core or backbone network, which will be more in the purview of companies like Cisco that provide switches and routers and so on. But we can certainly assist companies get into this IoT business. Clearly, it's the wave of the future. Again, if you check the Google, you'll see the millions and millions of hits, and also market research indicates that the economic impact is going to be very significant and critical. And in fact, we hear advertisement even on regular TV, so it's going to come down to the masses, so to speak.
Right. Well, I was going to ask you, we only have a minute left, but can you tell us the DBI Communications in New York, that like a typical client, is there someone that's too small, and what's usually the position of the person, that what's the title of the person that comes to your organization? Are they, you know, the IT department, or is it just, you know, who is it that calls on you all, and is there a certain size company that makes
those? It's kind of all of the above, but there is no specific size of a company. If people look at our website, you will see that we've assisted, as you mentioned before, various, for example, educational institutions, whether it be schools that want to lay and deploy wireless technology for their students, whether it be hospitals they want to deploy either the backbone networks within the hospital or some additional service. So we assist small and large companies of all types. We have some projects going on right now with New York City, and there is a lot of automation going on with the transportation systems for New York City, including, for example, a kind of a next generation bus information system, so that people taking buses can track the bus better and so on and so on. So we are involved kind of top to bottom, and there's no specific size of a customer, but we will assist any and all customers that are interested in getting into the technology. IoT is forward-looking, so mm-hmm. that's kind of a little bit mm-hmm. new, and it's a little bit of a tailored assistance. Mm-hmm. But we do a lot of more mundane or routine or standard type of activities, in particular, as an example, companies that relocate from one building, let's say Manhattan, to another building, or even outside of Manhattan or whatever, that they have to completely regenerate entire technology for the employees, because, you know, employees, if they sit on a desk and they have one, two, or three screens in front of them. So all of that requires technology, and we are certainly assisting them. That's more standard routine. IoT is more forward-looking.
Yes, I can tell. Well, you know, I'm so happy to bring you on to our show, because we are talented people, and we have gotten the best talent, again, Dan Minoli in studio, because I was looking around. I'm like, who are the leaders of this architect? Who are the people that are able to help your company bringing it up to speed and keep ahead of, like you said, you know, the future. So that's DVI Communications. I got to say, I love your website. It's like one of the most beautiful websites I've ever seen. It's so informative, and you can read all about what they do and their customers and everything else there. So it's the end of our show already. It's Talented People. Dan,
thank you very much.
Thank you for being here today, and we look forward to having you back, learning more about the Internet of Things from the experts. DVI Communications, New York City. All right, have a great week and enjoy this lovely day. If you want to listen to the rewinds, the show will be rewinding again, and you can get the archives on 100inchamberradio.com tomorrow after 11 o'clock. Have a great day, and be sure to share it with your colleagues and other businesses that might be interested in the future of the Internet of Things.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's physician referral service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.